Chapter number 6, verse number 18. This is a powerful encapsulation, word and truth. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge. If you haven't done that yet, I would make that a habit. You don't want to live in crisis mode all day, every day, the rest of your life. But just make it a habit to just run into the presence of God as frequently as you can. Don't wait for there to be a crisis to do that. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Remembering, hope turns a crisis into a turning point. I love that. And anytime you're in a crisis, sometimes we just want to get stuck in ourselves and in our moping and our complaining, and we just wander around and just never get what we're supposed to get. And he's saying, no. Just be anchored to me. I'm going to get you through it, and it's going to be better after than it was before. Amen? And then in 1 Peter 4, it says, Beloved, speaking to the church, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Like, huh, why did this happen to me? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Now, that's where we're trying to get to, isn't it? Where we rejoice that he counts us worthy to suffer for him. Not just to be glorified with him, but to suffer right along with him, knowing that there's great benefit that comes in eternity out of that. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. You see, persecution, trials, Jesus went through all that. That when his glory is revealed, and that day is not far from us, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Folks, the reward of eternity that he's going to present those who have been willing to go through the fire with him is beyond anything that you will ever experience in this life or appreciate until you get to the point where you say, all right, this isn't fun, but I'm going to enjoy the journey with the Lord. He will help me through it. Because you look at the patterns of Scripture, Paul said, this is a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of his glory. Light affliction, having been beaten numerous times, left for dead, stoned, in storms, in dungeons, in all kinds of persecution, and said, nothing. And then he says, and I gladly wear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And kind of then sums it all up with that great promise, well, promise from Scripture, but also we sang it with Promise Keepers Men, that I may know him in the glory of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. I don't like that word, do we? Because the flesh just recoils from that. Because we don't like it. Go through a hard spot. We like everything to stay cushy. Well, folks, it ain't going to stay cushy forever. So get ready for it. There's going to come a crisis. Let it be your turning point. Father, thank you for truth. And thank you that you reveal something I need to share with your people. So let the meditations of my heart, my mind, those things that you've planted in me, the very thoughts you've given me, may they be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You're my strength, and you're my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. But Peter says, don't be tripping just because you've been thrown into the fire. Don't lose your mind because you're going through a test. Don't fall apart. Don't come unglued because there's a trial in your life. Because when it's all over, he said, you are going to rejoice because of the great things that God has done for you and done in you during your lifetime. You see, the sanctification of the Lord is what he's trying to work in us. You know, there are a lot of things we want to do out here in the expression of our Christianity and of our faith. But you see, to carry that out here, he's trying to get some things done in here that have to get fixed in here. So the great things he's done for you and done in you in your lifetime. Anytime you call yourself a believer in Jesus, be assured God will put you on the potter's wheel and begin to spin the wheel. The potter's wheel is that stone wheel on which the master potter drops a lump of clay, i.e. that's us, and places it there and begins to work on it. Then he begins to spin the wheel, and he begins to shape and reshape that clay so it's formed into the image that he wants it to be, getting to the place that he can use it in the spot he's designed for it in his family, in the body of Christ, pulling out imperfections, taking out of it those things that won't make it stand under stress and test. So when you give your life to the Lord, our God puts us on the potter's wheel. And then he begins to shape and to mold. And Peter says, sometimes after he's done with the wheel, he'll take and put that pot, that item that he's created, right into the fire in order to bring about the changes necessary that to be in our lives that he can now use. And so you love the Lord and you're on your way to heaven, and God at times will speed up the spinning process on that wheel. Sometimes he'll even allow the heat to be turned up in our lives in order to bring about change, in order to bring about his will in our lives, because he takes us where we are, but then calls us to a process of continual change. And change is not always comfortable. The flesh doesn't want that. The flesh wants us to stay the way we are. And when we love the Lord, you can say, stuff has burned away in my life, and know that out of that, God's going to bring all of that around for our good. The work he began in us, he will perfect until the day of Jesus Christ, which means he's relentless. He's not going to stop conforming us to the image of his Son. And when God's working in our lives, he will allow us to go into the fire, and we will be tested in the fire. In fact, just before he promotes us, he allows the fire to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. Just before they were promoted into the Babylonian kingdom, the 3 Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire. You remember? I wish I could tell you something different, but I can't. Before God does a work in us, he allows the fire to burn stuff out of us that needs to come out of us. And he will allow the fire to reshape us. And if he allowed that for the 3 Hebrews, he's going to allow that for us. And once the fire burns in your life, you're going to see Jesus' church is multicultural. All of a sudden, it's not going to just be us, we, and our little group. It's going to be multicultural. It's going to have people from every background. Once God begins to do a work in us, there'll be a new love that flows out from us, and all of that prejudice will begin to change inside. And all of a sudden, we'll see the value of every person in the family of the Lord. And once that fire burns hot enough in our lives, you will not have a problem forgiving those who have offended you, even if it's a spouse that broke away and broke the relationship. If the fire is hot enough, you won't have a problem showing up for church on Sunday night. Right now, many are just too busy or too tired to make it back. But thank God for you. You decided you could be here in the presence of the Lord. And once the fire gets hot enough, pastor won't have to beg you to show up for service. And let me say, once the fire gets hot enough, you won't have any problem saying yes to Jesus and being water baptized, because you will be learning obedience. In fact, when the fire gets hot enough, you're going to look for ways to please the Lord. How can I honor you more? The fire in your life will burn out everything that is not of God. And the fire is going to burn sexual sin out of your life. The fire is going to burn selfishness out of your life. The fire will burn greed out of your life. Listen, the fire will burn the jealousy out of your life. The fire will burn control issues out of your life. The fire will burn the hatred out of your heart. The fire will burn the bitterness away from your spirit. Some preachers will tell you that if you've got enough faith, you'll never have any troubles. I'm here to say we have an appointment in the fire. Every one of us. And God will meet us in the fire, so don't worry about it. He's going to get us through it just like he did the three Hebrews. I don't know what you're facing this week, but Jesus prayed it like this. Give us this day our daily bread. And I can't worry about tomorrow's bread. I have to be focused on today's bread. Father, supply my need today. I'm not going to spend the night worried about tomorrow. Jesus said, tomorrow will take care of itself. So everything you're going through today is preparing you for your future. Now, I know it doesn't always feel good. I know that testing is not always exciting. Sometimes it feels like you're going to get burned alive. But your miracle is birthed out of that fire. So don't quit now. We have to change our attitudes toward the test. You're going to go through a fiery ordeal at some point in life, probably multiple times. Don't be surprised, Peter said, at what you're going through. We all go through it, and it will work for our benefit and for our good. God will get glory out of it, and we'll be transformed when it's over. Because if he brought you to it, he will see you through it. Did you hear that? If he brought you to it, he'll see you through it. You may be going through a lot tonight, but the end result is you're going to be spiritually stronger. You're going to be more like the Lord than you've ever been. Say it with me, God's doing a work in me. Now look at your neighbor and says, he needs to do a work in you. Come on. Yeah. We know the potter's wheel is working when we believe God's allowing us to go through the fire for a reason and a season. And we quit blaming God when we're in a trial. Well, God, why did you do this to me? No, no, no. You remember what I taught you this morning and on Wednesday nights? We're not standing around asking God, why? Why me? We're asking God, what do I need to learn now in this process? What is the lesson I need to learn? We say, all right, God, I must be going through this for a reason. I need to have you reveal that to me. We know the potter's wheel is working when we actually begin to know that it's for our good, that God's allowing this for our good. It may look like it's spinning out of control. We know it's working because something inside of us knows it's going to be all right because I'm in the hands of the master potter. And we know the fire is accomplishing what it's sent to do. When we've been through hell and high water, but we're still praising God anyhow. We know the fire's working when the devil's doing his business, but we don't let the devil see us sweat. And just as with birthing, the closer it gets to being born, the greater the pain is going to be. And I can say this, if you're going through a lot of pain in your life, I can say that the greater the pain, the closer you are to seeing the miracle birthed in your life. Amen? David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. And I think about that, and I'm thinking, man, he got it. He grew to the place in his walk with God that he got it. It was good for me that I was afflicted. You know, the fire has done its job. When you can testify, it was good for me that I walked through the trouble that I've been through. You'll never understand the trial in your life until you can say, it was good for me that I went through my trouble. It was good that I was afflicted. It was good because out of that came a transformation. There came a growth and a development and a strength I would have never had except I had to go through this experience. How many know that behind every cloud, the sun is still shining? You have to look for it. It's not always apparent. And when you truly know the Lord, you know that what you're going through is only for a moment anyways. And when you truly know the Lord, you have to know that it's only a matter of time when God's word comes to pass in your life. And that's why when you're going through a crisis, you have to cast your cares on the Lord and say, Lord, I have to offload this on. You can't be allowing that trouble to get inside of you and get to the core of your being, and you begin to do what the Israelis did in a constant harangue of complaint and just unhappiness. You got to give it to the Lord. You got to put it back in his hands. You've got to hold on to the peace that he's planted in you. Don't allow the enemy to steal your peace. You have to place your hand in the hand of the Lord and let him walk you through whatever it is you're going through. One day at a time, even one step at a time, and you watch him put the pieces of the puzzle. You can't see the picture in the whole until he's finished the work. And then all of a sudden you step back and go, look what God just did, right? Look what the Lord did. And I know it doesn't seem fair that you have to go through the trial when you're walking in it, when you're feeling all the pain that comes with it. But God says, I have a plan. I am the great I am. I am the bread of life. I am the door. You remember Moses, he's out in the wilderness near the side of a mountain, and one of the bushes just catches fire spontaneously and begins to burn, and it's not consumed. So it goes beyond just a momentary explosion of heat and fire, and then the bush is consumed, but this bush continues to burn, and it's not consumed. So he goes over and he looks a little more carefully, and God begins to speak to him out of that burning bush. So what am I saying to you? When the fire begins to burn, that's when you can expect God to speak to you. Get close to him. Draw nigh to him. Put your ear up to his mouth and say, Father, this is a painful road I'm on right now, but I know you got something I need to learn. Would you please tell me what I need to hear? God talked to Moses out of that fire because God was ready to do a work in this man's life. He was about to do some things so miraculous that Moses was not able to accept it or believe it when God began to tell him what he was going to do. So when the intensity increases, it's a sure sign that God is on the move. It's a sign that a miracle's about to explode. It's a sign that God's about to do something in your life. It's a sign something new is to be born in your spirit. So Moses is instructed to go and confront the Pharaoh of Egypt. Pharaoh of Egypt at the time is really the ruler of the world. He has all the power vested in him to immediately do whatever it is he wants, and everybody's going to respond to his commands. And he, Moses, has got to step before this magistrate and say, God said, let my people go. They're enslaved by the Egyptian Empire. And Moses asked, okay, God, you want me to say that to him? Whom shall I say sent me? Because he's going to ask, who do you think you are and who's sending you here? And the Lord said, you tell Pharaoh that the great I am has sent you. Do you know the great I am? What do you mean I am? I am everything you need, says the Lord. I am the bread of life. I am the breath in your lungs. I am your healer. I'm the lover of your soul. I'm the one who supplies all your needs according to my riches and glory. I am whatever you need me to be. I am. We begin to pray, Lord, change me. It's necessary, but when we pray, Lord, change me, the intensity will start to increase. How many know that sometimes the fire can start out pretty small, and when you begin to say, Lord, change me, you feel a little heat beginning to rise, and when you begin to say, Lord, make me into your image so I learn to love like you and live like you and lead like you, you know the intensity is going to just increase a little bit more. And you won't be born again very long without saying, Lord, make me what you want me to be. And at first you may not say that, but after you've been born again for a while, something inside of you begins to cry out, Lord, me, Lord, make me into your image. Something says, I want to be more like you, Master. Something says, Lord, use me for your glory. And we don't even know what that means when we pray that prayer. But then the intensity amps up and the intensity increases. I'm speaking about the fact that people who have always been with you all of a sudden begin to resist you when God begins to change in some things in you. People you never thought would leave you walk away from you. People who've always been on your side all of a sudden change their mind about you. You're still the same person, but you're evolving and growing into the image of the Lord. But didn't you say, Lord, change me? Sometimes the trial gets so hot, you don't know if you're going to survive it. And when you begin to say, Lord, my life is in your hands, you can expect that trial in its embryonic stage to begin. And then the bigger blaze develops. And fortunately, you've got the Lord there who keeps the blaze under control. While he's got you where he wants you, and he's the one determining the level of the heat that's being applied to the vessel that he's working on. He regulates the intensity. He regulates the work on the wheel so it's applied at the right places and the right ways at the right time, and he will put out the blaze when its work is accomplished and allow the test to have been ended. You surrender to God, and your life is on the potter's wheel, and then God breaks off those pieces that are not necessary for the vessel to be used of the Lord. He begins the humbling process, the breaking process, and you kind of feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that moment. You might be in a crisis, and all of a sudden you feel like you've been thrown into the fire head first. But realize that your miracle is birthed in the fire. Don't run away from the trial. Your miracle is in the test. The change is going to take place in the heat of the test. Do you know how glass is made? They take fine sand and they mix in lime, and then they put it together with sodium bicarbonate. And they take those three ingredients and they thrust that into the fire that is really piping hot until those elements are melted together. Then it becomes a liquid. And out of that liquid, they form glass. It came out of fine sand and lime and sodium bicarbonate. And the point is this: it is heated until it becomes what it is intended to be. Sometimes a little trial won't get the job done the way God wants it to get done. Sometimes people talking behind your back isn't enough to get you to change. Sometimes God has to turn up the heat because it's such a process. He has to start melting away some stuff that's accumulated in life. And you know, when glass is broken and all of a sudden it's shattered, you know what? They can take those pieces, they can reheat the pieces and remelt the pieces and then reshape the glass once again. So you might be broken tonight, but make no mistake, it's through the trial that God reshapes you and makes you into what he wants you to become. Are you listening tonight? The trial isn't going to destroy us. And if we will trust the Lord with all of our hearts, there won't even be the smell of smoke on your clothes when it's over. Our issue is we keep blaming God for the trial. We keep asking God to deliver us out of the heat. And what we don't realize at first, our miracle is in that test. God has prepared a table before us in the presence of all our enemies. It might be my midnight hour, but I learned a long time ago, God does his best work at midnight. God told Moses to take off his sandals. He said, because you are standing on holy ground. God allows the trial, one of the reasons, to bring holiness into our lives, to sanctify us, to get us where he wants us so he can use us for his glory in ways we couldn't until we allowed sanctification to work in us. You see, sometimes you still think it's okay to do what you do. And God is speaking to you to not continue doing what you think is okay to do. Now, I don't want to target anything specific, because for one person it's one thing, for another person it might be another thing. But the bottom line is, he's already told you not to do it, but you want to insist that it's okay. The trial will reshape us. And once God does his work in us, we're going to love people that at one time we looked at and thought, you're my arch enemy. Once he does his work in us, we're going to give more to God's work than we could have ever imagined, because God has reshaped us into a vessel he can use. Once he does his work in us, we're going to desire that he fills us daily with the Holy Spirit. When we come to the Lord, we arrive with some baggage, don't we? Arrogance, pride, stubbornness, bitterness. It's baggage. You see, just because we're born again on that day doesn't mean everything that we've accumulated is instantaneously gone from us. You thought you had all the answers. You thought, I know how to control my life. So God allows a brokenness to come our way through a crisis. And you ask God to change you, that's exactly what he's doing. You ask God to make you what he wants you to be, that's exactly what he's doing. You said, Lord, use me for your glory. That's exactly what he's doing. He keeps telling you you're hanging out with the wrong people. He keeps telling you you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And now he's burning that stuff out of you, because he's been telling you that's not for you. Why are we so surprised, Peter asked, at the fiery ordeal that has come upon us? The deeper they drill into the bedrock, the higher the building to be constructed. The deeper they go underground, the higher the structure is going to be. The deeper they drill down, the higher they go up. It's construction. And don't allow the crisis to steal your faith. If you're going through a storm, he's drilling down. But the further he drills down, the higher you're going to rise. Don't be upset because things aren't working out. Don't be angry at God because things have fallen apart. Don't quit. God has it all under control. It's a Holy Spirit setup. You're going to get stronger through this trial. And the reason God allows you to go through a lot, he wants to get your roots down really deep. And if your roots don't go down deep, then any kind of a storm will just uproot you. And you see that every once in a while. You think, well, they seem to be rooted and grounded and strong and great root system. But the first big storm that rolls in, boom, over they go. Oh, my goodness. Those roots don't go down deep. That storm is going to pull you right out of the ground. When you don't know what to do, you got to stand on God's word. And the reason God had to allow you to go through so much is because he's got big plans for you. He's got a phenomenal future in your life. The more you've been through, the bigger the plans are he has for you. Some people are content to live in a little shack while God wants to build you up into a skyscraper. He's building you from the foundations up. He's working down below the surface. He's putting all the footings down deep. He's letting your roots go down deep because he's going to raise you up to a higher place. He's got position for you in his kingdom. But before you can go to the higher level, he's got to remove the stuff that holds us back and cut away the excess baggage, cut away the excess flesh man, and put that stuff out of the picture. You still have rejection issues you should have dealt with a long time ago. You haven't dealt with them. Now he's going to allow you to go through some stuff. So you got to deal with them. You've got some anger over previous abuse in your life. Now he's allowing you to go through some stuff. Before God takes you to the higher place, he's going to allow the trial to burn some stuff and things out of you that should not be there. In the right church tonight. Is this still Calvary Christian Center? Did I end up at the Methodist church by mistake? What is the deal here? Listen. Crisis happened to every one of us. But the Lord is there to pick up all the pieces. We've got to know the Lord is always there ready to rebuild our brokenness. And when the bottom falls out, he's there to intervene. God chose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Israel still had too much Egypt in them. So God leads them into the wilderness to get the Egypt out of them. And Moses, anointed by God, but he also, at the moment, wasn't ready to lead as yet. He had to have a process. It took 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, to get Moses ready to go back to Egypt to lead Israel out of Egypt. And he said, I've anointed you to preach, but you're not quite ready to lead yet. I've anointed you to sing, but I can't quite trust you yet. So he allows you to go through some stuff. That's what he's allowing to happen to each of us in the tests that we face. He has anointed each of us to serve him, but before he can bring it to pass, before God can take us to the higher level, he's got to get the spirit of the world out of us. Could it be that God is so big that he knows what to allow each of us to go through to get us to change? Yep. Could it be that he's so big, he knows which storm to allow to get us to change our minds? The disciples are on their way to another side of the lake, and here comes the storm down through the valley, out of the north, into Galilee. And it's not just wind, it's rain, and waves are building, and the wind is howling. And they made a decision, we're going to cross to the other side at the command of Jesus. That has to be your decision. When you enter the storm, you got thrown into the fire, and your decision has to be, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust the Lord. They're out in the middle of this. We're going to have to trust. Listen, he's going to catch me. He will get me through this crisis. So whatever you're going through tonight, it's training for where God wants to take you so that your structure of character is strong enough to be able to carry the giftings he's going to trust you with and to use them for his glory, and you don't let your ego get in the middle of this thing, because he will not share his glory with anybody. And the minute anybody thinks that they're it and their ego gets in the middle of this, see, then the character isn't ready yet, and you're going to bungle it somewhere and do damage somewhere, because your character wasn't refined enough to carry the giftings he wanted to trust you with. And listen to me. When you work with giftings from the Holy Spirit, the great danger in the use of the giftings is that you begin to think, I can do this. I'm doing this. And you begin to bask in the glory of all that's going on through the use of the gifts. And God is telling us, no one gets to bask in that glory but me. And that's why I'll put you into the refiner's fire to burn the ego out of you so that your character is strong enough that when I put the gifts on you to use, that you'll carry them and honor me in their use. Are you listening to me? So whatever you're going through today, it's training for where God's trying to take you. Behind the cloud is the sun. He's taking what the devil means to hurt you, and he turns it for your good so that you can laugh at the adversary. Tell somebody, I'm in training. I'm in training. Yes, I'm in training. I'm in training every single day. David was anointed to be king of Israel, but he had to live in the wilderness for 17 years before he took his rightful place as the king of Israel. That's a long time to be on the run. 17 years after he was anointed to become the next king of Israel. God took him to the wilderness to teach him some things that he'd have to know to reign as the king over Israel. That's what God is doing for all of us today. He's letting us go through some stuff because he's getting ready to do a new work in us. Say, he's getting me ready. Amen. So when God's getting you ready to go to a new level, things don't go smoothly. Mm-mm. And I'm telling you the truth. When God's ready to take you to a higher place of responsibility, he's going to start uprooting some weeds in your life. He's going to pull some sin out of your spirit. He'll pull stuff out of your character. He's going to burn up some things before he trusts you with something greater than what you have now. There will come a moment in your test that everything you believe is going to be at stake. Everything. You're going to have to come to grips with this God that you claim to serve and have faith in. And you're going to have to look him right in the face and say, if you slay me, I still trust you. You're going to have to come to grips with this, because he's going to allow it happen to you what happened to Job and anyone else he put through the test. He's going to burn stuff up. There'll come a moment, listen, in your test when life is seeming to fall apart, that everything's coming unglued and you're spinning out of control and you cannot stop the ride. You're on it, and it's not going to stop until God says it's finished. You're on it for the endurance, and sometimes he'll uproot your comfort zone. Sometimes he'll uproot your judgmental attitudes. Sometimes he'll uproot you out of your security in this little world that you've created where it's protected and there's no real pain in it and no harm, and you're very okay in it, because God wants you to walk by faith, not by sight. God doesn't want you trusting in man. He wants you trusting in him. And that's what the uprooting is always about. That's what trials and tests are always about. God wants us to stop looking at people and looking at him. He wants us to trust in him more than anything else in our lives. How many know it's traumatic when a tree is uprooted? I witnessed that in person as a kid. Sometimes you get to see it now on television when the news is showing you what happened in this horrific storm, and they've got cameras set up, and you see a tree get taken up by the roots. Once in a while, you get a glimpse of that. I was standing on the third floor of our home, and I was looking out the window during a hurricane, and my mother was yelling all the way down from the first floor, so I pretended I couldn't hear her, saying, "Get away from the windows!" Because she knew they could explode at me, but I couldn't take my eyes off what I was looking at. Because I'm looking at the tree across the street from me in front of the house that I used to play in that front yard with the kids that lived there. And I was watching this tree. And for about the first 2.5 hours, you know, the wind and the rain were coming down horizontally in one direction in that hurricane. And this tree was, you know, starting to bend a little bit and sway in that, 100 mile an hour winds plus and gusts beyond that. And then all of a sudden, the eye of the storm passed over. And I ran back downstairs and went out into the backyard, and I looked, and there was blue sky and headed straight up, and there were clouds all around the perimeter. I was like, wow, this is like surreal. And then all of a sudden, man, the storm comes further in as the eye passes over, and the winds and the rain are all reversed, and everything is going in the other direction. So I run back up to the third floor, and I stand in the window, and I'm watching this tree that had been like this. And all of a sudden now, and the ground is fully saturated because it's pouring down rain like crazy in advance of this storm and during the storm. And now the wind's going the other direction, and this tree starts leaning over in the other direction. By now the roots are really loose, and this thing comes right up out of the ground. The tree comes out of the ground, and the wind just slams it right into the front of the house across the street from us. Just kaboom! I looked at that, and I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I mean, and this is a big old tree. This thing had probably been there 30 or 40 years at least. It's traumatic when there's an uprooting like that. A tree gets pulled up by the roots. It cracked the concrete. I mean, everything was flying everywhere and splatters that thing into the front of the house. Thank God nobody in that home got hurt. It's traumatic when you're uprooted from your comfort zone. Yeah. When you've built this little safe place, I'm not going to get hurt in here. From relationships, they're not going to hurt me in here. You get comfortable in relationship. Listen, if it's uprooted, you can flip out. Who am I preaching to tonight? Huh? If you believe that your steps are ordered by God, you need to trust him. Even if friends walk away, I need to let God choose my friends. Even when people are removed from our lives, we need to always remember my Father knows best. But you see, step by step, he's ordering our path. Step by step, he's changing us, process. Step by step, he's taking things out of us that are not good in his kingdom. Step by step, He's teaching us about trust in him. God wants us to grow to the point that we're leaning on him for everything. He wants us to realize we can't make it without him. And he wants us to know that he is our reason for living. We can't be born again unless he gives us faith to believe. We can't even become born again unless God gives us the gift of faith to believe him. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and I can say amen. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. God says that we are to have no other gods before him. And if you don't bring God your tithes, what you're saying is, money is my God. Because if you've been taught to bring your tithe to God out of the biblical truths of Scripture, and you still don't do it, it's because money is still your God. And God will have to pull money down before he can get to you and get you to realize it's better to put God first and be blessed than dishonor him that way and have the enemy come and steal it, because one way or another, it's going to go somewhere. We are to have no other gods before us. If drugs become your God, he'll have to allow you to come down to pull those drugs out of your life. That dependency. Let me tell you, if you say Jesus is the Lord of your life, then he becomes obligated to tear down anything that stands between you and he. When I bring my tithe to God, what I'm saying is, you are Lord, not my money. It's a matter of putting him first. Am I right? No, the scripture's right. Now get so quiet. It's good. If you're serving the Lord tonight, you can't be concerned with who's with you and who's not with you. Sometimes people are with you for a long, long seasons. Sometimes they're only there for short seasons. Get your eyes off of people, because someone is walking with you now. That doesn't mean they're going to walk with you tomorrow. Do you really have faith in him? If one door closes in my life, by faith I say, okay, Lord, that must be your plan. Thank you. I've been trusting God to open some doors. They didn't open. So I have to say thank you. He has to know something I don't know. And since he's ordering my steps, what I have to learn to do is trust his judgment, because it's perfect. Mine's not. If someone you love disappointed you, you say, God, you're still faithful. Quit worrying because somebody turned on you. Quit complaining because somebody said something or did something. God says, I've ordered your steps. I've got a plan for you. So who's ready for God's plan in your life? Men. Not everybody who walks with you today will walk with you tomorrow. Not everybody who's with you is going to stand with you when the storm strikes you. Because when the storm hits, some people just leave. Yeah, he's in a storm. I don't want to be around that. Faith is when you're in a storm and someone you depended on is undependable, but you still trust the Lord. You open your hands and say, Lord, I give this to you. I don't know why this is happening. I'm giving it to you, but teach me what it is I need to learn. Show me what I have to discover, because this is all in your hands. You've got this. You got this. You knew it was going to happen long before it ever happened in my life, and you know how it's going to end. You're my God, my refuge. In you, I do trust. How many single people do we have here tonight? Is that a good thing? Okay. No, okay. Too many times Christian singles go out with people they shouldn't go out with. And I am in your business right now. I know how it happens. You come to church. Don't see anybody you like. you get lonely. You cannot be unequally yoked and walk in the blessings of God. So I'll say it over here. You cannot be unequally yoked and walk in the blessings of God. Okay? How about this crowd? You cannot be unequally yoked and walk in the blessings of God. Okay. Can't. And too many times Christian singles get impatient and say, well, I'll go out with somebody I know I shouldn't be going out with. And then some hang on to old relationships that God says it's time for you to leave behind. But you're hanging on because you think you know better than he does. And if God's trying to remove that from you, there's a good reason for it, and you better listen now before it gets too late for you to listen, and you got yourself in something you can't fix. The real reason some won't let go of relationships is because they're afraid God won't bring me the right person. So the concept then goes like this. Part of something is better than all of nothing. Part of something is better than all of nothing. But that devil is a liar. And let me explain it to you a better way. You're better single and alone than married to the wrong person and miserable. Because the devil's plan is to bring someone along who will pull you away from God and out of your call and out of the purpose for which he created you and get you into something that you can't readily change to get back to where God wanted you. And when the day comes that you wake up one morning and realize, I'm not where I should be. I should be doing this and be here in my growth and development. But because I insisted on my way, I'm here, and I can't find my way back here. That's not a real pretty place to find yourself in. Just because you meet that person in church doesn't mean God has him or her for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Lord. If you're all alone tonight, I'm here to tell you it's a setup. Don't allow emotions to cause you to make a fatal mistake. Get your eyes off of yourself and your situation and realize God has you. He's got you. And use the time waiting to focus on him. Seek him first because God's got you. You're his. Say it's a setup. God's going to do a new thing in your life and speak to you in a fresh way when he sees you're putting him first, that the desire of your heart is to honor him in all your ways. He'll order your steps. He'll bring it to pass. And that's why he has you right where he has you. God loves you. Now hang on. Some of you started to tighten your seatbelt, but you better do it right now. Okay? He will wrestle you over your sexual life. I know you don't want to hear this, so just keep looking straight ahead. Okay? He will wrestle with you about tithing. He will wrestle with you about substance abuse. He will wrestle with you about forgiveness. He will wrestle with you about your lack of submission to biblical authority. And when you love the Lord and you're going in the wrong direction, God has a way of getting your attention. He's got a trial that will burn, a storm that'll get your attention. Many will wrestle with God over the things that you want rather than the things that you know you should have. Because what he has for you is perfectly designed for you and your success. But here's our problem. Even after we become believers, some of us fight God by thinking we know what's best for us. Here's a little revelation. Much of the time, we don't. That's why you have to put everything in His hands. We'd be in a mess tonight if we got everything we prayed for. So you know what? At Thanksgiving, while I was rehearsing some of the things I'm thankful for and articulating them and checking off the boxes about God, what God's done, I also took time to thank God for the things He did not allow. Thank you, Lord, that You didn't answer that prayer. Can you imagine the mess we'd be in if we got what we prayed for? That's why you can't be discouraged when things don't go the way you plan, because sometimes the things we're praying for are not in alignment with what He wants. We have to trust the Lord in spite of the storm. The storm brings us our blessing. If you're in a storm or crisis, open your eyes and look around, because that means you're at a pivot point. You're at a transition point. Something's about to change, and how you respond in the storm determines whether it changes for the better or you get stuck in the middle of this thing. I may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil, for You, Lord, are with me. God said, Jacob, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. I'm changing your name to Israel. We still use that name today to talk about God's people and His descendants. Israel, the lineage of God. I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel, because you have wrestled with Me and you finally have submitted to Me. And they had a wrestling match all night long. Jacob didn't come out real well physically, but he came out of that a better man spiritually for the rest of his days. And God's saying to every one of us, He's in the process of changing our name. You used to be called Trickster. He's now changing your name. You used to be called a crackhead. He's changing your name. You used to be called a womanizer, but He's changing your name. You used to be called a liar and a cheat, but God's changing your name. Tell somebody, God has a new name for you. He's changing the direction of our lives, and everything we go through is a part of that process. The blaze was allowed to do a work in us, to turn us in the direction, in the way that God's tracked for us to go. Just listen to me with your eyes closed while the worship team comes here. The rest of the crowd, just listen. In fact, I'm going to have everybody stand, and then I'm going to have you close your eyes, and then I'm going to have you listen while I speak to you for a moment. Thank you, Master. You're good. You're good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And somebody's going to rejoice before you leave the room tonight. Just listen with your eyes closed. Don't pay attention to anything or anybody, but just focus your heart on the Lord with your eyes closed. And here's what I want to say to you. Let the Holy Spirit enlarge it and magnify it. No matter who you are, you will face a crisis. No matter who you are, a crisis will hurt. But the fiery trial, whatever you go through, will change you. You don't like change. You resist change. As a matter of fact, you even fight change because you want everything to remain the same. It will not. It will not. That's not God's plan. So when you're serving the Lord, just know you have to follow the pillar of fire. And when you said, Lord, use me for your glory, he enrolled you in a teaching class. And now you're being used. Well, Pastor, that church, you know, it just doesn't appreciate me. Church doesn't appreciate, listen to me. They just use me. Didn't you pray, God, use me? Yeah. You're in a trial. The fire will work for your good. At the moment, it doesn't feel good. God's word says that. During the time that you're going through it, it doesn't feel good. But God said it will change you, and you will be more like my son, because my goal for every one of his followers is to be transformed into the image of my son. And Father is relentless in getting us to the place where we look more like Jesus every single day. So, who here tonight will say, I'm going to grab this out of the atmosphere. I'm going to come to the altar and present myself as a living sacrifice. And I'm going to say, take me, Lord, because I can't make it without your help. And I know I'm going to get changed. It's going to be for the better, not for the worse. It will be for your glory. It will be for your honor, because the hope I have, the hope of that anchor, is going to turn any test and trial into a turning point, and that turning point is going to take me to the destiny you have for me. So who here tonight will come and present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? As the worship team begins to lead us in worship, come.